And it came to pass, when Isaac was old and his eyes were dim, so that he could not see, he called Esau his eldest son and said to him, My son. And he said to him, Behold, here am I. And he said, Behold, now I am old, and I know not the day of my death. Now therefore take, I pray thee, thy weapons and thy quiver and thy bow, and go out to the field and take me some venison, and make me some savory meat, that as such as I love, and bring it to me that I may eat, that my soul may bless you before I die. And Rebekah heard when Isaac spoke to Esau his son, and Esau went to the field to hunt for venison and to bring it. And Rebekah spoke to Jacob her son, saying, Behold, I heard thy father speak to Esau thy brother, saying, Bring me venison and make me savory meat, that I may eat and bless thee before the Lord before my death. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice according to that which I command you. Go now to the flock and fetch me from thence two good kids of the goats, and I will make them savory meat for thy father, such as he loves. And you shall take it to your father, that he may eat it, and that he may bless you before his death. And Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, Behold, Esau my brother is hairy man, and I am a smooth man. My father peradventure will feel me, and I shall seem to him as a deceiver, and I shall bring a curse upon me and not a blessing. And his mother said to him, Upon me be thy curse, my son, only obey my voice and go fetch them. And he went and fetched and brought them to his mother, and his mother made savory meat such as his father loved. And Rebekah took goodly raiment of her eldest son Esau, which were with her in the house, and put them on Jacob her younger son. And she put the skins of the kids of the goats upon his hands and upon the smooth of his neck. And she gave the savory meat and the bread which she had prepared unto the hand of her son Jacob. And he came to his father and said, My father. And he said, Here I am. Who art thou, my son? And Jacob said to his father, I am Esau, thy firstborn. I have done according as thou badest me. Arise, I pray thee, sit and eat of my venison, that thy soul may bless me. And Isaac said to his son, How is it that thou hast found it so quickly, my son? And he said, Because the Lord thy God brought it to me. And Isaac said to Jacob, Come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee, my son, whether thou be my very son Esau or not. And Jacob went near to Isaac his father, and he felt him and said, The voice is Jacob's voice, the hands are the hands of Esau. And he discerned him not, because his hands were hairy as his brother Esau's hands, so he blessed him. He said, Art thou my very son Esau? And he said, I am. And he said, Bring it near me, that I will eat my son's venison, that my soul may bless thee. And he sought it, brought it near him, and he did eat it. And he brought it him wine, and he drank. And his father Isaac said to him, Come near now and kiss me, my son. And he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his raiment and blessed him and said, See, the smell of my son is as the smell of the field which the Lord has blessed. Therefore God gave you of the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth and plenty of corn and wine. Let people serve thee and nations bow down to you. Be Lord over thy brethren, and let thy mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be everyone that curses you, and blessed be he that blesses you. And it came to pass, as soon as Isaac had made an end of blessing Jacob, and Jacob was scarce gone out from the presence of Isaac his father, that Esau his brother came in from his hunting. And he also made savory meat and brought it to his father, and he said to his father, Let my father arise and eat of his son's venison, that thy soul may bless me. And Isaac his father said to him, Who art thou? And he said, I am thy son, thy firstborn Esau. And Isaac trembled very exceedingly and said, Where is he that has taken venison and brought it to me? And I have eaten it of all before thou camest and have blessed him. Yea, and he shall be blessed. And when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry and said to his father, Bless me even also, my father. And he said, Thy brother came with subtlety and has taken away their blessing. And he said, Is it not he rightly named Jacob? For he has supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright, and behold, now he has taken away my blessing. And he said, Have you not reserved a blessing for me? And Isaac answered and said to him, Esau, Behold, I have made him thy Lord, and all his brethren have I given to him for servants, and with corn and wine have I sustained him. And what shall I now do to you, my son? And Esau said to his father, Hast thou not the one blessing? My father, bless me also, O my father. And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. And Isaac his father answered and said to him, Behold, your dwelling shall be the fatness of the earth, and the dew of the heaven from above. By thy sword shall thou live, and shall serve thy brother. And it shall come to pass, when you shall have the dominion, that you shall break his yoke from off thy neck. And Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, The days of mourning for my father are at hand. Then will I slay my brother Jacob. And these words of Esau, her elder son, were told to Rebekah. And she sent and called Jacob, her younger son, and said to him, Behold, thy brother Esau, as touching you, does comfort himself, purposing to kill you. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice and arise, flee you to Laban, my brother in Haran, and tarry with him a few days until thy brother's fury turn away, until thy brother's anger turn away from you and he forget that what you have done to him. Then I will send and fetch you from there. Why should I be deprived also of you both in one day? And Rebekah said to Isaac, I am weary of my life because of the daughters of Heth. If Jacob take a wife of the daughters of Heth, such as these which are of the daughters of the land, what shall my life do to me? What good shall my life do me? That's a lot of words. Go back to the first part. We understand this is not a history book, right? This is something going in your life. Now, Isaac comes old. Who is Isaac? Well, he's the son. He's really the son. It's us. His father is Abraham. Okay, so this is Abraham's son. We are Abraham's children, sons, right? So that constitutes the whole body of Christ, all the individual, many-membered body of Christ. And when he was old and his eyes were dim so that he could not see, he's saying in the natural you begin to lose it. We know that, don't we? He's growing old, he could not see, and he called Esau his eldest son. Now, that was the culture in that day. That was the custom that day, to give the blessing to the oldest son, to give the birthright. Well, Jacob had already got the birthright. So he said, I'm going to make sure that he don't get this. He said, I'm going to go ahead and give it to Esau. So he's getting ahead of himself here. He said, it's coming, so I'm going to get it done before I die. And he said to him, my son, and he said to him, Behold, here I am. He said, Behold, now I am old, and I know not the day of my death. It's coming, but I don't know when. He said, Now, thy weapons, your quiver and your bow, and go out to the field and get me some what? Well, not really what it says. It doesn't say venison. Game. Just some wild game. Doesn't say what. Someone took the liberty. It may have been. I'm just saying the book, the language, does not tell us what it was. He just wanted some wild game. He wanted some meat. Okay? He wanted some meat to eat before he died. Preferably venison. I would go along with that myself. But I'm saying, technically, the language says nothing like that. Someone took the liberty to put venison in here. Okay? But what do you think he's thinking about? What is Isaac's thought process on right now? Thank you. Himself. He's thinking about his flesh. I'm old, I'm going to die, and before I die, I want one more good meal of meat. You think it's really the meat of the earth he's talking about? Or is it the heavenly meat? The meat to eat that you know not of, that Jesus spoke of. It was some truth. He really wanted something. He was not fulfilled in his life. How many people in this life go to church, say, I'm a good Christian, pay my tithes, sit in the pew and stink, die there. Okay? And all they're thinking about is self. Well, see, if you're thinking about self, excuse me, but that is not the mind of Christ. Christ never speaks of himself. He's always speaking of you, everybody else. It's not the I, me, or mine, but it's the we or the us. The we-os. The mature son says, we and us. Correct? So see, it's still showing many people die without coming to fulfillment. But why do they not come to fulfillment? First of all, first and foremost, it's God's plan. They're not condemning anybody. It's God's plan. But here's the thing. If I come to my old age and I feel that I need to satisfy that flesh in that last little bit, am I really following God? If the flesh is dead, what would I have need to fulfill? I think we started that conversation this morning, didn't we? Being in contentment. If I learn to be content, and we're not even talking about worldly things, I'm talking about being content in God. And I'm telling you, people say, oh, you can't be perfected in his lifetime. That's a lie. If you believe that lie, you've bought into it. This book says, be ye perfect as I am perfect, complete, mature. And he would not tell you to do something you could not do. Okay? And that's New Testament too. So we have to realize we can come to perfection, we can come to maturity. And if we do that, if we think that, guess what we'll do? If I think I can, what will I do? I'll accomplish what I think I can. If I don't think I can, there's no sense even trying. I've already defeated myself before I start. You're prophesying to yourself, I can't make it. Okay? But anyway, here Isaac is still looking at his fleshly desires. I want this one, all that great venison meal. You know, well, whatever it is. Okay, it's just some meat. And he says, here's what he taught him to do. Take your weapons, go out in the field, and get me some game. And make me some what? What did he tell him to make? Savory meat is one word, but guess what it really means? Make me a delicacy. Language says, make me a real delicacy. See, again, against his own feelings, his own emotions, what he wants. He says, such as I love, and bring it to me, that I may eat, that my soul may bless you before I die. Don't you know that's still under the law? Because I can't bless you till you give me what I want. If I feel good, if I feel good. Is it about I? It's not about I. And it, all it's showing you is that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob all have flaws. All of us have flaws. Have flesh to deal with. And that's not a condemnation or guilt, but we've got to learn to separate the flesh from the spirit, the sheep from the goats. We've got to figure this stuff out in our head because that's where the separation takes place. When God says to separate from things, he's not talking about people. He's talking about thought processes that we got to separate from. The process is in here. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. If I think I'm defeated, I'm defeated. If I think I'm victorious, I'm victorious. See? Jesus never took the world over physically, did he? But he did here. He took it by thought process. See? And it's the only way you're going to do it. We have to follow the same process that he walked in. Okay? Absolutely. Your actions speak louder than your words. Okay? And Rebecca represents who? The soul. And see, and the soul comes here and says, oh, you know, I don't want all this to happen. I really like Esau better than I do. I better do something here. So she heard what Isaac spoke to Esau, his son, and Esau went to the field to hunt for the game and to bring it. And Rebecca spoke to Jacob, you know, that's the conniver, the used car salesman or something, you know, her son, saying, behold, I heard their father speak to Esau, your brother, saying, bring me some game and make me a delicacy that I may eat and bless you before the Lord before my death. Now, therefore, my son, the word obey, guess what it is? Shama. Shama. Hear intelligently what I'm trying to say to you with the intent to respond to it. That's what the word Shama means. So hear what I'm saying to you with the intent to respond to that which I command you. Now go to the flock and fetch me from there two baby goats, that I may make them a delicacy for your father, such as he loves. So what did the soul get into here? Deception, lying, right? She's trying to manipulate the situation. Anytime you let your soul your emotions get involved, you're going to be deceived. You're going to get into manipulation. You're going to get into carnal reasoning. Well, it's okay this time. You know, all kinds of rules and regulations. You'll get into everything if you let that mind get in. See, if I truly want to walk as Jesus walked, he never walked in a place where his thought processes and his emotions ruled him. He had emotions, but he controlled his emotions. And the world loves to see people that's emotional. They love it. The church world loves to see people get emotions, and they cry, and they fall on the floor, and they roll, and they do all kinds of things, and they shout and scream and run. And that's okay when you're in Passover and Pentecost. But Jesus said, in the first 2 days, I do miracles and cures, but on the third day, I'm perfected. If I want to come to tabernacles, and I want to grow up in God, and I want to be a mature son, just as Jesus was, did you see him doing any of them things? See, so it's not about going to a Passover church or a Pentecost church, but it's an experience in your individual life. When are you going to come out of Passover into Pentecost and come into tabernacles? When do you choose to no longer play in the sandbox with a kid? Now, these children playing in the floor today, that's okay because they're children. Children are supposed to play. And you can't, if you take their childhood away from them, you're not going to let them develop properly. You got to learn to let them grow up, see? But we as adults are supposed to quit acting like children, right? And we're supposed to be mature and grow up and be who we're supposed to be. That's all God's trying to tell us here. We've got to do what he wants. Quit letting somebody out there in the world tell you how to live your life. If I had a nickel for every time someone has called me from all over the world and said, what should I do? How do I do it? How do I know? I could fill this room with nickels. And when you begin to hear God yourself, you won't have to call and say, Dave, what should I do? You might call Dave and say, brother, I'm having a hard time. You know, let's just talk about it, and we might get a little direction or something. But you're going to know within yourself. You're not going to have to stand and have somebody come up and pat you on the back and say, it's going to be okay. You'll be the one patting somebody else on the back while you're going through hell, because it won't make any difference. Did Jesus have to have someone pat him on the back and tell him he was doing the right thing? Should we? No. See, we got to think ourselves. I'm not trying to build a big group of people. I'm trying to grow up people so they can go out and help somebody else. See, I'm not expecting to keep everybody in the room. I want you to do what your Father has destined for you to do. See, I want you to fulfill your purpose. And you can't do it being loyal to Dave. You should love Dave because Dave's your brother and Dave loves you. But see, that's far as it goes. I'm not your God, I'm your brother. I want you to do what God wants you to do. And you got to do that by listening to God. Okay? Where to leave off? What verse? Okay, I got 9, yeah. Okay. Verse 10, and you shall take it to your father, not bring it to your father, but take it to your father to eat, that he may bless you, that he, and the word may in verse 10 shouldn't be there, both times. Them mays are added words. What is may? It's a word of doubt. An added word, but it's a word of doubt. And the King James is very, very good at it. A lot of the other translations still carry those words over, just like they were gospel. But that word may is a doubt word. Here's an example. Jesus died that you might have life. What the King James Version says. Maybe I'll get it and maybe I won't, but that's not the story God tells me, is it? He died that you have life. That's not that you might have life, see? And that doubt is slipped in there so subtly that 90% of the people plus will never catch that word. See, those are the things that catches in your crawl when you have discernment. You'll know, dude, that don't sound right. There's doubt in that stuff. And there's no doubt in Christ, is there? No, it's got to be by spirit. It has to be by spirit. Anyway, verse 11, and Jacob said to Rebekah his mother, behold, Esau my brother is a hairy man, and I am a smooth man. What's he saying? He's got doubt there too. See, when you let your emotions run, doubt's going to run in your head too. And see, first of all, Jacob really is a man of God. True? He might have some character flaws in there, but God hasn't worked them out yet. But he knows one thing. I can't deceive my father. He's a man of God also. How am I going to do it? But the soul, these emotions in your mind running around, they'll figure out ways to do all kinds of things to not connive. He said, my father perhaps will feel me and will bring his eyes to his eyes as a deceiver. I'll be brought to his eyes as a deceiver. And I shall bring a curse upon me and not a blessing. What's he afraid of again? He's not even obedient to where he's living at in the world with the soul. Has respect, but he's afraid, first of all, for himself. He's afraid of getting caught. See, that's not the response that should have been brought. What should the response have been when his mother said, do this? What should his response have been? Absolutely no, this is deception. If God wants me to have the blessing, he'll give it to me. Although we know God used this as an example, and he did want him to receive the blessing. See, he wanted him to. But what should Jacob's response have been? No. See, it was a response of, what if I get caught? Now, let me show you an example. Two people in the same room at the same time in this office, one sees the situation. I could embezzle $1 million out here. I see a way to do it. And I might get caught. If I get caught, I go to jail. I'm not going to do it. Second one sees the same thing and says, I see I could take $1 million out of here. But I'm not going to, because it's not right. Which one was right? The second one. Because it was wrong. The first one, the only reason he didn't do it was because he might get caught. See, he's still living under the law. No, there was nothing wrong with it as long as I didn't get caught at it. The old adage is, nothing's illegal till I get caught. Well, the jails are full of people like that. And see, churches are full of people like that too. As long as they don't get caught at it, they think it's okay. You see, God's eyes sees everything. We don't have to worry about what people see. It's what God sees. Anyway, in verse 13, his mother said to him, upon me be your curse, my son. Only obey my voice and go fetch me them. And he went and fetched and brought them to his mother. Correct? Just a second, I need to look at something here. And his mother made what? The delicacy for his father that he loved. And Rebekah took what? For good raiment of her eldest son, Esau. Now, she took good raiment as opposed to what? Would you keep old worn out clothes? You think they still did what people do today? Keep a closet full of old clothes that's just worn out? Yep, I know what you're saying. Just thinking a second. Isaiah. What is it? It says, put on our own raiment. Only let us be called by thy name. Okay. I can't think of where it's at right now, but I know the verse. But she took the good raiment of her elder son Esau, which were in her house, and put them on her younger son Jacob. And she put the skins of the goats upon his hands and upon the smooth of his neck. So saying his hands, his works, and his responsibilities, she covered them up with the goat hair feeling, you know, put the goat skin on him. And she gave him the savory meat. She put the deception there and then gave him the deceptive meat. Not what he was asking for, was it? And the bread which she had prepared into the hand of her son, Jacob. And he came to his father and he said, my father. And he said, here I am. Who are you, my son? Do you really think the father should be having to ask who that son was? And Jacob said to his father, I am Esau, your firstborn. There he goes lying. I have done what you bade me to do. Arise, I pray you, sit and eat my, what? Game. The word is game, not venison. Eat the game that he's caught for him. That your soul bless me. Not cross out that word may too. Because if he eat it, he was going to bless him, wasn't he? And Isaac said to his son, "How is it that you have found it so quickly, my son?" And he said, "Because Yahweh Elohim brought it to me." Yahweh Elohim brought it to me. He lied and used it in God's name. Typical for religion. They'll lie in God's name. They'll say, "Oh, God told me to do it." You better watch what you eat spiritually. And Isaac said to Jacob, "Come near, I pray, that I may touch you, my son, whether thou be my son or not." And Jacob, he already knew something was wrong, or he wouldn't have to feel him. He should know his voice by relationship. "My sheep hear my voice, and the voice of another they will not follow." And Jacob went near to Isaac, his father, and he felt him and said, "The voice is Jacob's voice, and the hands are the hands of Esau." Isaac knew there was a problem, didn't he? Now, what did he let happen? He wanted to bless his son. He knew he was coming to the end of his life. He wanted to get this thing done, didn't he? He had his agenda, did he not? His timetable. He wanted to get this thing done, and he didn't take time. He knew there was something wrong. If you knew something as serious as this was coming down, wouldn't you think you'd take the time to make it right? And he hurried and rushed through. He didn't think about it. He knew something was there, but he didn't check what his spirit was telling him. Because he said, "The voice is not the right voice that I'm hearing." He knew there was a problem. He went on. And this is what I'm saying to you. God wants you to hear the voice inside of your spirit, inside of you. And don't hear the voice of someone else. If you hear that other voice, what should you do? There you go. Tell it to shut up. Years ago, I got in this in religion. When you start having your favorite preacher, this is where you get in trouble. I started hearing people speaking in my head. When I read the verses of the Bible, I heard those individual preachers preaching in my head. I heard their voice, not God, and I said, "No, I will not have that, because I am not worshiping those men." Because they were, when I read the scriptures, I couldn't hear God's voice. All I could hear was their voice. So I had to reject that and say, "No, I want to hear God's voice. Now, I'm not going to be satisfied." Jacob had this here, but he wasn't satisfied. He was satisfied to hear what he heard. He didn't change and say, "No, I want to hear what God's got to say. This is the wrong voice." Swift to hear and slow to speak. That would go right along with it. And he discerned not, because his hands were hairy as his brother. Now the word discerned him should say this. He disregarded. He disregarded what he knew was wrong because of what? The feeling, emotion. He let his emotions take him where he should not have went. He knew it, didn't he? Said he knew it. The voice is wrong. And he still went with his emotions because he wanted to bless that son, because that son had been shorted on the other end. God had already made a choice that Jacob was going to do something that Esau was not. Isn't that right? And he tried to circumvent that and go around it with his own desire. How many parents do you think want to bless their children, but yet you can't bless the ones you want to? How many of you think like that? See, culture says we give it to the firstborn. God never used the firstborn, did he? He always went to somebody else. He always went to the seconds and thirds and right on down the line. He went to David. How many did he go down? Eight. Went to the eighth son. See? God does things different from what humans do. We should learn that. And he said, "You are my very son, Esau." And he said, "I am." He said, "Are you my son?" He said, "I am." He lied again. And he said, "Bring it near me that I will eat my son's game again. That my soul, and cross out the word may again, that my soul bless you." And he brought it near him, and he did eat, and he brought him wine, and he drank. And his father Isaac said to him, "Come near now and kiss me." And he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his raiment and blessed him and said, "See, the smell of my son is as the smell of the field which the Lord has blessed." Now, again, what did he use for discernment? Smell is one of your senses, part of your emotions. So he was not using the Spirit of God to discern what he was doing. All God's saying is, don't let your woman lie to you. Don't let your soul lie to you. Don't let your emotions rule. Use what you know. I hear people say this all the time. I think this. I believe that. They don't believe anything. They don't know anything. They think. And when you're thinking, your thought process is not finished yet. Thinking is a process. Thinking is a verb, okay? It's an action. You're doing something. When you know something, you've come to the end of the verb and now it's finished. I know what I'm doing. I know it by experience. Okay? And people don't think and come to an end and come to that conclusion. They keep thinking. They never go on with it and find out the truth. Okay. Verse 28, right? Therefore, God give you the dew of the heaven and the fatness of the earth, or the richness of the earth, and plenty of corn and wine. Do you all know that there was no such thing as corn in their culture? It was grain. Okay, it was wheat. More like a wheat, barley. He said, give you all the grain and wine. But what is the grain and the wine really speaking of here? It's the word in Revelation, or the fellowship of that. See, you can't have word, you know, which is the grain, and the wine, which is the revelation of it, without having fellowship with it. Why do you think God's always talking about fellowship? Fellowship comes intimacy. Only with intimacy of the word will you have the revelation of this word. You can't have it just by reading it once in a while. You've got to have an intimacy. I'm not talking about having the book stuck on your forehead where you can't see anything but the pages of this book. I'm talking about thinking about it. Your mind in activation all the time. Every time I'm not doing something specifically, I have to think about, my mind goes back to some aspect of the word. You hear what I'm saying? That's where you want your mind to go. Don't dwell upon the things of the world, because the day has enough evil to suffice, according to Scripture. See? All you have to do is realize that my mind needs to go back and focus upon the things of God, and everything else will just grow dim in the background. No matter what's going on in the world, it won't be important, because God will take care of it. I don't know how it works. All I know is it works. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything will be added to you. So why do I worry? All I got to do is apply myself and obey and focus upon the word of God, and that's the end of it. It's all up to him now. I'm the servant. He's the master. Whose responsibility is it to feed the servant? The master's. He'll feed you. You're more precious than a bunch of sparrows, right? So you've got to believe what this book tells you, every bit of it, not the translations of it, but what he really said by spirit. If you believe that, you'll have no problem. Okay, he goes on to say, after the corn and the wine, he said, let people serve you and nations bow down to you. And do you really think he's talking about nations of people? He's talking about the imagination, the minds of humanity bowing down to him and giving him honor and respect. Because if someone bows down before you, and while they're bowing down saying, I'd like to cut his throat, you think they're really humbling themselves to you and serving you? Didn't he say, every knee will bow and every tongue shall confess that he is Lord? See, but that's not being forced into it. That's doing it because they love him. See, and love's going to draw it all across. Going to draw all that hatred and all that bitterness and all that vile of the world is going to be changed only by the love of God, which is going to be within his people. The only way you're going to touch anybody, you're never going to change them any other way. And he said, you be master over your brethren and over your mother's sons, and let your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be everyone that curses you, and blessed be he that blesses you. Isn't that the same thing Abraham had? He invoked the blessings of Abraham right on down to his son, to Jacob. And it came to pass, as soon as Isaac had made an end of his blessing Jacob was scarcely gone from the presence of Isaac, his father, when Esau, his brother, came in from his hunting. And he also made a delicacy and brought it to his father, and said to his father, let my father arise and eat his son's game, that your soul may, there, kick that word blessed, may too, that your soul will bless me. And Isaac, his father, said to him, who are you? And he said, I am your son, your firstborn Esau. Why would he have to ask that? Because he let himself be deceived. He let himself be deceived. And Isaac trembled very exceedingly and said, who? Where is he that has taken the game and brought it to me, and I have eaten of all before you came, and have blessed him? And he shall be blessed. All right, and literally, and he was, and the shall be isn't right. It should say this. And I have blessed him, and he was blessed. Should be the word there. And when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry and said to his father, bless me also, my father. Sound like somebody's upset? Well, whose choice is it? Father's choice. And he said, thy brother came with what? Deception. Your brother came in deception, has taken away the blessing. Has taken the blessing. And he said, is not he rightly named Jacob because he has supplanted? The word supplanted also means to be tripped. He's tripped him up how many times now? How many times does it take before you learn? You know the old saying says, you do me wrong one time, whose fault is it? Shame on me. No, shame on you. Do it the second time, shame on me. See? You should learn from something. And here, he wasn't learning, was he? Should have kept a better eye on his brother. And he took away my birthright, and behold, now he's taken away my blessing. And he said, have you not reserved a blessing for me? And Isaac responded to Esau, behold, I have made him master or ruler, and all his brethren have I given to him for servants. With corn and wine have I sustained him. And again, you know, it's the word in the Revelation. It's wheat and wine. What shall I do now to you, my son? And Esau said to his father, have you but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, father. And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. Does that sound like a mature son? He's weeping because he didn't get a blessing. Whose fault was it? It was his problem, wasn't it? He gave it up from the beginning. He didn't respect what was given to him, the gift that was given to him as birthright. And Isaac, his father, responded and said to him, behold, your dwelling shall be in the fatness or the richness of the earth, and the dew or the anointing of heaven from above. And by your sword or by your word shall you live. Hello? By the sword, by your word, you shall live. Isn't there life and death in the power of the tongue? They that love it will live by it. See? There's the thing, what he's telling you. If you're going to murmur and complain, and his father was prophesying to him, if you're going to murmur and complain all your life because you got shortchanged, you know what? You're going to live and die by that very word. You might have some things in life, but you're going to be miserable all your life. Does that ring a bell? If you're going to murmur and complain, what are you going to live in? Huh? You're going to live in misery. If you have been shortchanged in life, so what? Do you think the man Jesus, as he walked this earth, got everything? He didn't do his will. He done his father's will, and then subsequently he got shortchanged in a whole bunch of things. But at the end, he got the reward. See? Okay? Where to leave off at? Yeah, 40. And by your word shall you live, and shall serve your brother. And it shall come to pass when you shall have the dominion. And that word have your dominion is not necessarily true. The language says when you become restless. When you had enough of someone controlling you, what are you going to do? What do we talk about here today? When we sit in religion all your life and you put that yoke of Esau on, sooner or later you're going to say, this yoke is not for me. Huh? It's too much to bear. See? We can't bear these burdens. And the religion puts this stuff right back on you, the do's and the don't do's, all these rules and regulations. That's a yoke that you can't stand. But he said, as long as you want to sit under your brother, guess what you can do? You can sit there. If you want to sit there, you can sit there. He said, but when you get restless, you'll break that yoke off your neck. And that's when God begins to call you out of it. Okay? And Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, what do you think that was? He was jealous because someone got something you didn't get? Jealousy, if we go back to the first part of Genesis, we find out leads to something. When you're jealousy, it leads to murder. Now, you may not pick up a gun and shoot somebody. You may not take a knife and stab somebody or beat them in the head with a rock or a ball bat. But your tongue will wag fast enough like a chainsaw that you'll cut their head off. Okay? And the church is full of chainsaws. That tongue starts going and they just start slaughtering people everywhere. And yet they do it in the name of God. See? The day has enough evil in it. Don't even get there. It says, the days of mourning for my father at hand, then I will slay my brother. He starts planning something, didn't he? He's jealous and he's already planning the murder of his brother. Now, Esau, in most people's eyes, has a right to complain and murmur. Is that true or false? Most people's eyes, people say he had a right because it was his birthright, his blessing, and Jacob stole it. Correct? But let me tell you something. They were self-inflicted. If he were not worried about his belly so much, his flesh, he'd have went on and made it all right, wouldn't he? He could have said no to his brother. Do you think his brother truly would have starved him to death? No. But see, he didn't want to take the time. He wanted the easy course. And the path of least resistance does what? Makes men and rivers crooked. If you think the path of least resistance is your course, you're going to find out it's a long, tedious journey. Had the Jews taken a straight course from Egypt into Israel, how long do you think it had took them to get there? Probably about 40 days. But if they took the course out in the desert, they took that least resistance around the mountains instead of going over them, it took them 40 years. Okay? And these words of Esau, her elder son, were told to Rebekah. And she called Jacob her son, her younger son, and said to him, behold, your brother Esau is concerning you, does comfort himself, purposing to kill you. He's wanting to get that revenge. Okay? Jealousy leads to revenge, and revenge ends up in murder. Now therefore, my son, do what? It's Shammah again, the word for obey. It should be hear with the intent to respond to my voice, and arise and flee to Laban. What does Laban mean? It's white or righteousness. Flee to the righteous, my righteous brother who's living in Haran. And Haran speaks of what? A parched place or a desert. Isn't it kind of amazing how every man or woman of God that's really been talked of all speak of the ones that dwelt in the desert? There's a desert experience. Even though Jesus walked in a lot of places, he was in the desert. He was in a dry place. He was by himself. He was isolated, walking in crowds. And if you feel like he felt, I guarantee you, you'll walk through a crowd of people, sit in a room of hundreds of people, and feel like you're the only one in the room. Anybody ever feel that way? If you're walking with him, I guarantee you will be. Because you're not of this world. You're not of their societies. You're not of their cliques. Or their social club, and you can go there and you can try to fellowship with them, but the real fellowship is not there. There's no life in it. It's just a show. It's a social club. Okay. And he said, and tarry with him a few days. How many would a few days be? Look here. So you can tarry out there for a while, but there's time. You're Passover and Pentecostal experience, but eventually you've got to come back. You've got to come back to where you belong. So you got to get out of here and go somewhere for a few days. Take your journey. It says, tarry with him a few days until your brother's fury turn away. Until your brother's anger turn away from you and he forget that what you have done to him. Then I will send and fetch you from there. Why should I be deprived also of you both in one day? And Rebekah said to Isaac, that's the soul speaking to the man, right? I am weary, not really weary, I am grieved or sickened of life because of what? Not the word my is an added word there too. I am sickened of life, grieved or sickened of life because of what? The daughters of Heth. What does Heth represent? Fear and terror. She said, I'm sickened and grieved in life. Do you know how much terror is in her mind when she thought that she's going to lose her son, both of them? One murdering the other one? The deception. And who started it all? she did. That's that woman that he gave me, right? Yeah. I'm going to be the same as I was. I'm just going to keep reproducing and reproducing and reproducing flesh, flesh, flesh. I've got to sell out sooner or later to the Spirit and forget about this natural earth stuff that everybody's consumed with. And today, everybody is consumed with something. Yeah. And God, wouldn't it be nice if we just slow down? In Isaiah 40, 31, it says, "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They will mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." And it's slowing down process. The whole world is saying, getting faster. Give me faster cars, faster computers, faster this, faster that, faster finances, faster everything. And God's saying the exact opposite. Slow down. Put the brakes on. Don't be in a hurry. Just be still and know that I am God. See? So slow her down. Let the world run if they want to run. Slow down. Don't worry about if everybody else is going that way. I'm telling you this, God showed me this a long time ago when I was in a Methodist church, local here, and I said, "God, what can I do to know that I'm not going by way of humanity?" He said, "Wherever the church goes, you turn 180 degrees and go the other direction and you'll be much closer to me. Just go the opposite direction they're going and you're coming to me." Because God's not going the way of humanity. God's got his own plan, his own purpose. Go where God is. Yeah? And if you follow, if the men of God had not followed him, if they'd have followed the church, do you think we'd had anything today yet? If the men that, and women of the Bible that didn't change and follow God and get out of the ways of humanity, do you think we'd have anything today? We'd still have religion, only it'd be worse. It'd be piled on top of us with more regulations and rules, and we'd be bound up so bad we couldn't walk. The yoke would still be on our neck if somebody didn't step out and follow God. And you can't do it unless God calls it anyway. That's the beautiful thing about it. We're not in control. God's in control of the whole picture. Love covers the multitude of sins. How about this? Love covers all of them. The whole multitude. God is love. See? And that's how you'll know the brethren for their love for one another. See? You'll know it. And it's not by strings attached to it. What can you do for me? What can I do for you? That's not even what it's about. It's just because the love of God is in you, you're going to love. That seed produces like kind. Is that correct? See? If God is in your heart, how could you not love? And you don't have to worry about sin, do you? 1 John, what's it say? 5, verse something. 1 John 3, I think it is. He said, if you're born of God, you cannot, because his seed remains in you. Guess what? If I can't, if I've been born of God, then I can't sin. I don't even have to think about it. If I don't have to think about it, guess what I can focus on? I can focus on him. And see, the whole world religious system is focusing on your faults, your shortcomings, and all God wants to do is say, forget about that. I know all about that. I want you to look back at what I have placed in you, my seed in you. That's all I want you to look at. Look at the Christ in you. Forget about the other stuff. That's just fertilizer, okay? That's just fertilizer to bring the Christ up in you. Don't worry about it. Oh, yeah. Don't worry about anything else except what God has said. The good things he's got in your life. And you'll go on through it. And you know what? It's not saying we won't die and we won't get sick, because I don't preach that name it and claim it stuff. I'm telling you this. God put us here, and it says it's appointed unto once man to die. I got to die. You can't show me anybody else that went through and didn't die, you know? They all die, don't they? Everybody dies, except him. But his flesh died, see? And my flesh is going to die. But I'll never die because the book says he's alive for evermore. So, You know what? This old flesh gets tired sometimes and it hurts. And I just don't cherish or relish the thought of living it for eternity. Huh? Yeah, I mean, I don't cherish or relish the thought of living in this pain and suffering like this the rest of my life for eternity. I'm going to do it in this natural lifetime, but in eternity, I don't cherish that thought. That might be hell. I'd think it would be. I'm done. Anybody got anything to say? Rocks to throw.